revival, and it's spreading like a wildfire in my heart.
Sunday morning, hallelujah,
and it's lasting all week long. Can you hear it? Can you feel it? It's the rhythm of a gospel song. Oh, once you choose it, you can lose it. There ain't nothing gonna steal my joy.
I've got an old church choir singing in my soul. I've got a sweet salvation and it's beautiful.
I've got a
heart overflowing cause I've been restored. There ain't nothing gonna steal my joy. No, there ain't nothing gonna steal my joy. When the valleys that I wander turn to mountains that I can't climb.
Oh, you are with me. Never leave me. Oh, cause there ain't nothing gonna steal my joy.
I've got an old church choir singing in my soul. I've got a sweet salvation and it's beautiful. I've got a heart.
Clap your hands and stomp your feet till you find that gospel beat, cause it's all you'll ever need, all you'll ever need. Clap your hands and stomp your feet till you find that gospel beat, cause it's all you'll ever need, all you'll ever need. I've got an old church choir singing in my soul. I got a sweet salvation and it's beautiful.
I've got an old church choir singing in my soul. I've got a sweet salvation and it's beautiful. I've got a heart overflowing cause I've been restored. There ain't nothing gonna steal my joy. No, there ain't nothing gonna steal my joy.
Oh, there ain't nothing gonna steal my joy.
Y'all feel that way? Y'all too. That's a good way to feel. Ain't nothing going to steal my joy. Have y'all ever allowed anybody to do that at times? Yes, you have. And it's not fun, so we're not going to do it anymore, right? That's right. What, you going to stay? Oh. That's because she won't stay with me, right? What are you grinning at? That's the truth. Okay, it's good to see everybody. I'm looking to see if there was somebody that didn't fill out a visitor's card, but I don't see anybody that should have filled one out. If you've been here more than twice, you're not a visitor anymore. Should be one of us together with us. Key word. 1 John chapter 2. Are you there yet? 1 John 2. Look at verse 15, if you would. Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. Now that tells me that love is more than one thing. That's what it tells me. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh and the lust of the eyes and the pride of life, is not of the Father. If it's not of the Father, where does it come from? Because he is definitely talking about it. Yeah. Is there a love there that is not a love that God would recognize? There is. But it's of the world. It's the last five words in that verse. And the world passeth away. Tells me it's not a lasting thing. If love is the love that we talk about, the love of the Lord, it should be more than just a passing away thing. Should be an eternal thing, and it is. But not the love of this old world. It's not. Because nothing down here is here forever. It's very temporary. And the world passeth away, and the lust thereof. Whatever you want down here, it's going to go away. It is. Just a matter of time. But he that doeth the will of God abideth forever. Now I think there's something interesting about that verse. Because he's talking about love. Isn't he? He's talking about love. And there's two different types of love he's talking about here. One is the love of the Father, and the other is the love of this old world. So in this particular verse, he's not talking about love, or is he? Oh, he is. He hasn't got off the subject. When he said, "But he that doeth the will of God," folks, love's not just a feeling. Love is a responsibility. And when you accepted Christ as your Savior, you fell in love with Him, but it's a lasting love, and along with that love should come a responsibility. A responsibility to Him. That's the way love is. You can't fall in and out. You either do or you don't. Amen? And since it's not just a feeling, it's a responsibility, should get us to thinking. Okay, let's bow our heads for that scripture reading. Now, think while you've got your heads bowed about what he said about that love. And then we're going to look at some scriptures a little differently today. I believe there are different ways in which God can open our eyes so that we see the word the way we should be seeing it. Our Father in heaven, we thank you for this scripture. We thank you, Lord, that there are things that we should love and things that we should not love. And I'm going to thank you for showing us today how we can distinguish between the two and how that we can be in your perfect will and love you like we ought to. We're going to praise you for it. In Jesus' name, amen. I couldn't help but get out the book. There's a book there in front of you. Like this. Do y'all ever reach for these? I don't care if you can say you can sing or not. Do you ever reach for one of these and just open it up and turn to the page that they say to turn to? Turn to page so-and-so and let's do this. I'd like you to turn to page 342, if you would. I could demand it, but I'm not going to. Oh, where have you been? Come in here, Chelsea. Where's Brennan? So while you're there, I'm going to show you what God does through His love toward us. Now, how many of y'all know this new person that's here for the first time today? But the sweetness of it is just like Chelsea. I was supposed to have done that a little earlier, but I didn't see anybody anywhere, so I didn't do it. Okay, here we go. The title of 342 is I Want to Love Him More. Now, we're going to talk about the things not to love, right? Well, say right. Yeah, thank you. I'm not here by myself, am I? Did everybody else leave the room? Okay, here we are. I want to love him more. I'm not going to read the whole thing, but I want you to see where this writer went with this. With Jesus, I would ever be. His matchless name, adore. He's done so very much for me, I want to love him more. Of course, I want to love him more, I want to love him more. I want to love him more. I do, I do, I do. I like the way he did that. I do, I do, I do. I want to love him more. I want to love him more. He's done so much for me. And every one of us have said that. He's done so much for me. Do you want to love him more? I'll guarantee you that if we make up our minds to love him more, we will not love the things he does not want us to love. Now, turn to 391. Now, some of these songs you never knew were in here. Guarantee you. 391. Well, you did this one. Alas, and did my Savior bleed, and did my Sovereign die? Would he devote that sacred head for such a worm as I? Oh, how I love Jesus. Oh, how I love Jesus. Oh, how I love Jesus. Because he first loved me. Read all the verses at your own time. 179. Turn to 179. Now, I'm not going to keep you all day. You think, well, if he's doing this, he'll keep us here till tomorrow. Not going to. But this is important. We got to do this. 179. Fill my way with love. And this author says, let me walk, blessed Lord, in the way. Thou hast gone leading straight to the land above. giving cheer everywhere to the sad and the lone. Fill my way every day with love. Fill my way every day with love. Did you notice that while when he got into the course, he had just was talking about giving cheer everywhere to the sad and to the lone? Is that for us to do? It's what love does. That's what love does. If we love this, the enemy that we're supposed to love, if we love the people of this old world out here who need Jesus as Savior, then this is what we're going to do. We're going to say, fill my way every day with love. Fill it with love because I want to let people know. I walk with the heavenly dove. Let me go all the while. Fill my way with love. Now, turn to 186. Shouldn't take you very long to get that one. 186. I love to walk with Jesus. Do we? Okay, we're going to find out. Oh, how I love to walk with Jesus like the publicans of old, when he gathered them about him and the blessed tidings told, how he came to bring deliverance to the captives in distress, take away our every burden, giving perfect peace and rest. I will follow where he leadeth, I will pasture where he feedeth. I will follow all the way, Lord, I will follow Jesus every day. Good writing, right? These guys knew what they were doing. 323. Going back over the other way. I should have had these in order, but I didn't, so it's okay. 323. I love to tell the story. How many know that song? You should. We sing it here all the time. I love to tell the story of unseen things above, of Jesus and his glory, of Jesus and his love. I love to tell the story because I know it's true. It satisfies my longings as nothing else can do. I love to tell the story. 'Twill be my theme in glory. To tell the old, old story of Jesus and his love. And that's not all. One of my favorites in there is, Jesus loves me. This I know, for the Bible tells me so. Is it important that Jesus loves you? I can't sing that except I swell up realizing that he does love me. He always has. He always will. Then we sing that one, love lifted me. Don't you love that song? Next time you sing it, think a little bit more about what actually lifts us in that love. Then there was another in there that we don't sing, but it's there. Fill my way with love. Have you ever sang that? Huh? Fill my way with love. Well, those are just songs. But I got to tell you something about the person of whom they were writing these songs, and it wasn't just a feeling. They weren't writing, these folks weren't writing about a feeling. If you notice that the love they're writing about is all about a person, Jesus Christ. You don't fall in love with a feeling. You don't. If you just feel like you're in love with the Lord, then you got a problem, because the feeling won't lead you to the responsibility. What you do is you make up your mind, your heart, and your very soul that you're going to follow the one that you fell in love with. You see, the driving force, y'all are familiar with 1 Corinthians 13, I'm sure, called the love chapter. If you haven't had that read at your wedding lately, go back and read it, because it's very powerful as to what love does, how powerful love is. So the driving force behind our Lord's life or his living or his behavior all while he was here on this earth, at all times and during all circumstances, what drove him was love. Because the Bible's very plain in that when it says that God is. What? He is. That's not just a phrase. That's what he is. And every step that Jesus took while he was here on the earth, it was driven by that love that came from God the Father. What was true of him should be true of us. Now, I'm making that statement now because when I get into the other things, you're going to connect that statement with what we're going to get into. That what was true with the Lord, if he faced every man, woman, boy, and girl down here with eternal love that could only come from his Father in heaven, then we should do the same thing. We should not ever go out and size people up before we decide if we're going to love them or not. We shouldn't see what they have. We shouldn't see what they look like, how they talk. We should just love them. Aren't you glad that the Lord didn't look at you to see if you could be of any benefit to him before he loved you? I'm glad he did, because I wasn't any benefit to him. I wasn't. He loved me anyway. He loves me unconditional. He loved Judas as much as he loved John. And we know that John was the one who laid his head over on his chest. John loved him. Boy, he loved him. Judas was a different character, but did he love him just as much? He did. He loved Pilate just as much as he loved Peter. And he loved Peter. He did. He loved that grit and that go in Peter's life. He loved that. Even though Peter was wrong a lot of times in what he'd say he was and what he was going to do, because he was that boisterous guy, you know, that says, "Hey, I'll do that, and I would never do that." And he meant it. Lord, you know, I would never, ever, ever turn my back on you. He meant it. And the Lord loved that in him. But he loved Pilate just as much. The man who stood in court and had the power and the authority to send him to an old rugged cross, he loved him just as much. He loved the man who beat him, probably more than one, but whoever it was that beat him on the way to the cross, he loved him. He died for the man who nailed him to the cross. What could cause a person to do that? What could cause us to love somebody that we would determine is not due our love or should not get our love for some reason that we have concocted in our own minds? He didn't do that. In fact, for those who nailed him to the cross, he actually prayed for them. Didn't he? He did. Now, is this a love that we should have? That was a statement I made a few minutes ago, and I said, hang on to that, because you're going to connect that here in just a minute when we get into some other things. Here is the key. When the Lord showed me this, I knew I had never preached this like this before. Now, you may have connected it like this before, but I have never preached this on this subject of love, and you know that I will preach the love of God here at Liberty Fellowship Church. I will. And I'll preach his wrath. But we got to know his love before we can know his wrath. If you're going to bring the wrath of a belt down on your kids, now don't get me wrong, young parents, but belts were a thing back in the day. But if you're going to bring discipline to your kids, they better know you love them first. And if the Lord's going to bring judgment on people, they got to know he loves them first. And that's why the Bible says that God is love. That's what he is and that's what he does. And he loves you. And that's not just a feeling. If it were just a feeling, he'd only love you when you were lovable. And that's probably a little smidgen of the time of your life. If you're anything like me, there's so many times he would not have loved me had he loved me because of what I was doing that was right and good. That's not the way he loves. And that's not the way we're to love. If you say something that upsets me, I'm to love you anyway. Doesn't make any difference. And don't get quiet on me. If this is the truth, folks, it's worth saying amen or oh me or something, right? It is, and it's the truth. Now, the spirit of this love, that's a different word, isn't it? The spirit of this love. What drives your love life? And see, I put it that way because I knew that would get your attention. Your love life with the Lord. What drives that? What drives your love life for your fellow man? What causes you to love people out here that you don't even know? Watch this, because this is the truth, and this is where the Lord, why the Lord took me back toward this message of love, is that we've got to know this. Because we talk about what we should love, who we should love, that's all there, and we all agree that that's what we should do and who we should love, and it's all there. But the spirit of this love, not just the feeling itself, but the spirit of this love, like his, should create in us the desire to not love the things he tells us not to love. Now take that home with you. You might want to write that down if you can't remember it, because I have never been there before. I have never heard that statement from any other preacher in my lifetime, but when the Lord opened that up to me, I couldn't get away from it. The spirit of the love that we're supposed to have for each other, and you all do love each other. Say, I love everybody here. Mila's a little slow. No, you said it last, Mila. But so we do. Okay. Mila, it's okay. I love you, Mila. Oh, she's got that look. But that's the Mila look. If you do love each other, do you ever tell each other? It's important that you do. Oh, once in a while, it's better than none. But if you do, you need to tell each other that you do, because that's where we're going with this, okay? The spirit of the love that you have, which is like his, remember? It's like his. The spirit of that love should create in us the desire not to love the things he told us not to love. So how am I going to obey him when he tells me not to love this world that we just read a few minutes ago? How am I going to do that? How am I not going to love this world? You say, well, I don't know. Well, I'm telling you now, this is the way. You love him like we ought to love him. And that love that we're to love with will create in us a desire not to love. We have to have a desire. If there's a love for this world, there's a desire there. If you're loving the things of this world, it's because you desire the things of this world. And then don't come around and say, Lord, you know how I love you, and then your desires are toward the world more than they're toward him. Isn't that good stuff? And that's all right here in the Word. He tells us how to love and how not to love. So this love, this awesome love that we can only get by receiving His Son, Jesus Christ, is our Savior, who loved us enough to die for us. And our love ought to be like His. It creates in us a desire not to love those things that He told us not to love. God's Word says that the highest attribute of man, because it was the attribute of God also, in the 13th chapter of 1 Corinthians, says it's bigger than faith. And we hold faith in high esteem, right? It is bigger than hope, and we hold hope in high esteem because He is our hope, faith. Love is the greatest of these. That's what He tells us. So what we're going to learn here is that in this message today is that the affection, and I hadn't used that word yet, had I? Because y'all know that when you say you love someone, you have an affection for them, right? And it's okay. But be wary of the wrong affection. It can take you in the wrong direction. And I didn't mean for that to sound like I'm a poet or anything, but it did. The wrong affection will lead you in the wrong direction. You can write that down, and one day you'll see it written on a card somewhere. Okay. Now you say, well, okay, are we going to get to the message now? Oh, now we have to, because we've already set the scene, right? With all the songs that we have in our book that talk about love and the right love that God gave us to love everybody with and love more. And this one song says, I just want to love Him more. I want my love to grow in Him. And then He comes along and tells us what not to love. Let's take a look at them. In 2 Timothy chapter 3, here's what he says. This know also that in the last days perilous times shall come. Now I think we all agree that we're in the last days. Have I been preaching that all my life? Yes, I have. But folks, I'm telling you, there's a difference in when I first started preaching and today. And when the Bible says that times will wax worse, that means as long as we're here, things are going to get worse. Things are not going to get better. Don't look for anything in the political realm to get better. It's not going to get better. Man's heart is evil, and if that's the direction that he's going, it's going to get worse. Times will wax worse. And so here's what he says. In perilous times shall come. For men shall be, what's that word?
Lovers.
Men shall be lovers of their own selves. Now let this really sink in. I'm going to read it slow. I'll get through in plenty of time. Lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection, truce breakers, false accusers, incontent, impatient, fierce, despisers of those that are good. Didn't know that, did you? The better you get, the more you're despised. Traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God, having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof. From such, do what? Turn away. Now, how are you going to turn away? You say, boy, that's a lot. That's more than just that. Some things we shouldn't love. Did you notice the first one? The very first one. You see, the Lord knew how ingredients in a in something, the first one is the most, should be the most, right? Yeah. Well, the very first one here is that for men shall be lovers of their own selves. Well, all this other stuff is because of that. Think about it. Men are covetous and boasters and proud and blasphemers and disobedient and unthankful. And the reason we're that way is because we're lovers of ourselves. If I look excited, that's because I am. This is the truth. And if we love ourselves, and by the way, if you love yourself, you're going to please yourself. Take that any route you want to, and I promise you, you'll come up at the end the same way, the same place all of us will, and that is that we just simply love ourselves, because that's what we do. That's why all these other things are there, is because man loves himself. And that, did he say that was going to get worse in the last days? Well, look around, folks, and you don't have to look any farther than in the mirror. Huh? Did I say that? I did. Yeah, we can't point our fingers at other people and get anything done. We got to take responsibility, because you see, love will take the responsibility. The reason a man will take care of his family is because he's responsible for his family. The reason a woman will take care of the home is because she's responsible for the home. We have responsibilities. The reason we will take care of God's church here at Liberty Fellowship is because we're responsible for this church. This is not just a place to come and feel good on Sunday morning, Sunday night, and Wednesday night. It's not. It's a place where we take responsibility, because God gave us this to be in charge of, and to bring people in to hear the gospel. And we're responsible for it. I love this church. I could wear that shirt all day long and it would be right. I love my church. It doesn't mean I don't love other churches. I do. I love anywhere where the gospel is shared. But I love my church. And if I love my church, I'm not going to just show up every now and then to be a part of it. Amen? Amen. Now, some of this, you might wish you'd wore a little harder shoe or something, but that's the way it is. I love you because you are the church. I love this church, and I'm responsible. You say, yeah, you're the pastor. You should be. We all have a responsibility to each other. Because I love you and you love each other. And if you love each other, you have a responsibility to each other. And whatever you can do to help each other, that's where we're going. We're going to do this together. Hold that up, John. John's got one in his Bible that says, I love my church. But the reason we have all these other issues is because we love ourselves. And that's what he's letting us know here. The Pharisee loved himself, and you wouldn't want to be a Pharisee, would you? Y'all know what Pharisees are, right? You wouldn't want to be a Pharisee, but according to the Bible, the reason he was that way is because he loved himself, and he went in unjustified because he loved himself. And the Lord says he hates a proud look. Well, where's a proud look come from? It comes from a person who loves themselves. Wow, and we all love this one. Pride goeth before destruction or fall, and a haughty spirit before a fall. Where do we get that proud look and that haughty? By loving ourselves. He said, don't do that. Don't love your own self. You're going to love, but don't love your own self. So there are some things we ought not to love. Anybody got some money you want to get rid of? If you do, I'll take it. Now, I'm not proud. I would. But how many of y'all love money? You say, trick question. Trick question. How many of y'all need money? Yes, everybody needs money. Why do you need money? Because do you have bills? You have like a water bill, light bill, house payment, car payment, Penny's bill, Sears bill. I always mention those because I grew up with those. But yeah, we have things that we're obligated to. We have responsibility to. Now I don't love Penny's or Sears, but I'm responsible to them. Not right now. I've got them paid. Praise the Lord. But if you owe, you're responsible, right? You should be. Christians should be responsible people. And if we owe a debt, we should pay that debt. Because if we don't, it looks not good on us. So here he says that something that we're not to love is the thing you need. The love of money. Not the money. It's the thing you need. You're not to love it. You see, money is just something to pay the bills. It is not something to store up and see how much you can get before you leave this old world. Don't do that. Spend that stuff. Right? I see some of you grinning and you're saying, I'm trying best I can. The only place you ought to leave, make sure that you have money ready to leave when you leave here, is your church. Boy, I didn't hear you take another breath there. Is this church in your will? It should be. I'm telling you, this church is in my will. I love this church. I have a responsibility to this church. And should I? So, folks, I got a call from, and some of you may not know, but I got a call from one of these big financial places, Edward Jones or something like that. And they want to know our information because a man's putting us in his will. We're the beneficiary of what he has. Now, this man doesn't even come here, but he has a link here. And it's a love link. Does that tell you how strong love is? Love is strong. And if you love your church and you want your church to thrive for as long as it can, folks, we ought to make sure that something is left for our church. Your children, if your children are healthy and they're able to work, they'll go and work. Don't try to store up and make them a millionaire before you leave or after you leave. Don't do that. That's not an order. I'm just saying, let's don't do it. Let's take care of things that are important. Anyway, he says, I don't want you to love money. Don't love it. Just make it do things that are necessary in this world. If you covet that money, if you love it, it's going to be a problem for you. It is. Let's move right along, because I told you I'd get through in time. How about do you love it when I say, man, I love you because you're such a wonderful person. Have I said that to anybody here lately, that you're a wonderful person and I appreciate everything you do for the church and anything? Have I said anything similar to that? Say yes. Yeah. I really appreciate your involvement in Liberty Fellowship Church. In some way or other, I'm going to let you know. But are you to love that? No. And some folks, it'll make them uncomfortable for you to say that. But that doesn't mean you don't like it. Okay? It just means you feel a little uncomfortable taking a compliment or whatever. But I'm talking about praise. There is something about our human nature that likes praise. And I guess I picked that up when I was, 9 years old. Anybody else in here 9 years old? I see you, honey. Yeah, and I would like jump out of a tree, you know, and I'd thinking, did anybody see that? I mean, I really did good, didn't I? I jumped out of a tree. Might have broke my leg, but that's beside the point. I could jump a creek. I know I'm mentioning stuff some of you all don't even know about, but I could get inside of a big old tire and let it roll down the hill with me in it. And all these, I could swing on a grapevine across a creek and drop on the other side. I could ride my bicycle on the back wheel. And I wanted people to say, boy, you did good. Now y'all are smiling at me. There's some things that you do good that you want a little praise for, right? And that's not all bad for people to say, man, you did good. We should encourage our young people to do things. But for us older adults, folks, we ought to be careful how we're looking for the praise of men. Especially if it involves the things of God. We should not look for the praise of men. If you're going to do something for the church you love and for the God in heaven that you love, don't look for man to praise you for that. Take encouragement, but don't look for praise. It's not necessary. If you do, you love yourself too much. So we don't do what we do to be seen of men, do we? We don't. So love like we ought to, but don't love the things that we ought to love. And what is it that creates in us a passion to not do these things? What is it? The right love. The right love. The love of God. Okay. Now the Bible also says that man loves darkness rather than light. Should we love darkness? There's something about darkness that maybe we ought to spend a little bit more time on in studying it, because there's a darkness in this old world. This old world is dark. So when you love the things of this world, you love darkness rather than light. And he says, don't do that. Don't love the things of this world. Have the right love. And so if I have the right love, it's going to created in me a passion to not love this old world. I'm not going to love the darkness of this old world. Is there human pleasures in the darkness of this old world? Oh, yeah, there is, but it's temporary, right? Wherever Satan can take you, it'll be dark. Did you know that we have people that we say live on the dark side? You ever heard that phrase, that live on the dark side? Well, that's not on the Lord's side, I can tell you that right now, because he says, I am the light, I am the way, I am the truth, I am the life, I'm everything you need on the light side, not the dark side. He said, men love darkness rather than light. The reason we need to win people to the Lord is because we need to bring them from the darkness to the light. In that same scripture that I read earlier, he told us that we should not have a love for this old world. And I don't know how you're going to divide up in your life what is of this world, but I just keep it real simple. Anything that will take away from your life, your dedicated, responsible life, to do the will of God that we find in his word right here, anything that will take that away from you is this old world. And Satan is the ruler of this old world. He is. This is his. This is his. And if we're loving this old world, we love his world rather than the world that God wants us to be in and live in. I know this is a lot to take in, but folks, we've got to take it in. Paul said this about Demas, who was his brother at the time. But what he said was, he said that Demas forsook him. Why? Because he loved the world. Demas forsook him. Now, I could say, and if I said it boastfully, I would be wrong already, and I don't want to go there because he told me not to go there. I could say, I will never forsake you, church. And when I say church, I'm talking about each individual here, from Angie on back around to this other side, every one of you. I could say, I won't forsake you. Could I honestly say that within myself? I couldn't. But Paul said, and he knew this firsthand, Demas forsook him because he loved the world. And folks, if we love this world, we'll forsake our brothers and sisters. We'll forsake our church. We'll forsake our life with the Lord. We will. So be very careful how you do that, because if you do that, it won't be all of a sudden that you'll be full-blown into loving this old world. It'll be that you begin with a small love of this world, and then two, and then three, and then four, and pretty soon you grow completely separate and totally away from the life that the Lord wants you. Is Satan devious? He's very devious. He is. Lot's wife turned to salt because she didn't do what she is supposed to do. She did what she was told not to do. She looked back to a place that she had a longing for, that she had a love for. Don't look back. There's nothing in that world before you got saved. There is nothing back there for you. Nothing. Lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God. How could that happen? Is that possible that we could love pleasure more than we love the Lord? Of course it is. That's why he put it in here. But you see, my love for the Lord ought to cause me, it ought to create in me a passion to not love the pleasures of this world. Is there wrong with... Man, this just goes in many different directions. I have to pick one, I guess. Is it wrong for me to love to go on vacation? No. Vacation's good for you. I recommend every one of you take one at the same time. I recommend you do some things that you love to do. If you love saltwater fishing, go saltwater fishing. You say, I love to do that. That's my pleasure, is to go fishing. Little Wilbur. Go up to Little Wilbur and fish. You say, I love to go up there. That's a pleasure for me. Is the pleasure wrong? No, it's not wrong. But when you love pleasure more than you love God, and that pleasure would take away from your thoughts and your life with the Lord, folks, it's not right. Now, I know this whole world will say, well, I'm not going to church so somebody can tell me how to live. By the way, I'm not doing that. I'm not doing that. I'm just saying, if we love the Lord, we'll want to live by His Word, because we know He loved us first. So we're not to be lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God. And nobody loves a pleasurable ride on a motorcycle more than John Augustus. Not even me, folks. I'm telling you, and I love it, but not even me. John will call me up 30 minutes before he wants to go and say, you want to take a ride? I want to say, John, give me time to think about it. But he'll just take off, and he loves to ride. And something you might love to do, do it. It's nothing wrong with the pleasure. But you give God His first place. That's what He deserves, first place, not second or third. He shouldn't. We're not to live our lives. You know what happened to the people in the Bible who loved their who did not love their life, their lives? They died. I mean, it's tragic, isn't it? They loved not their lives, not their lives. And if we don't love our lives, we love God more than we love our lives. We're putting us in a position to lose that life. Now, in John the Baptist's day, he did that. What happened to him? He lost his head, but he gained a place in the heaven with the Lord. Paul did the same thing, by the way. You know, all these men of God that we read about, if you look at the end result of them, Paul lost his head also. But the good thing was he lost his head for the Lord. He lost his head. We say that about some of us sometimes. He's lost his head. Stephen didn't exactly lose his head, but he lost his life because he didn't love his life more than he loved the Lord. So are there some things that we ought not to love? And how are we going to do that? You got to know how to do it. Just fall more in love with him. Because his love will create in us the desire not to do the things he told us not to do. And I know I'm looking at people I love dearly. And you're saying, I've tried not to do that. I've tried. I have this habit that just, it bothers me, and I've tried not to do it. I'm saying, quit trying. Fall more in love with the Lord, and he'll give you the power to do that. You can't do it within yourself. It's not possible. But it is possible when we love him the way we ought to love him. Are there some things that we ought not to love? Yeah. But there is one that we ought to fall more in love with. Let's do that. Let us pray. Next time we sing that song, Oh, How I Love Jesus. Oh, how I love Jesus. Let's mean it from the bottom of our hearts and say, I want to love him more. Lord, thank you for the day. Thank you, Lord, for giving us this time together. It is so good to be together in your house, to hear your word, giving us something concrete that we can live on in a world that is so wishy-washy, in a world that is so temporary, where it feels like sometimes the rug could just be pulled out from under you anytime. Lord, we need something concrete. And we know that your love for us and our love for you is concrete. And we pray for a bigger, greater love in you. And we pray in Jesus' name, amen.